Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day.
It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
That's right. We got to hear from the coordinators today. And, Clint, let's start with Tim Kelly. I know offense is near and dear to your heart.
Ta-da!
And, man, hearing from him and talking about what the running backs could be in this offense, Clint, do you think that David Johnson may play a bigger role in this offense this year than we previously thought?
Yeah, he better.
He better.
I mean, and look, I'm not even getting into the fact that he's a $10 million back, one of the top five highest paid backs in the league. To me, at this point in time, that it doesn't matter. That's totally irrelevant. Every conversation we have about David Johnson can't go back to that. It can't go back to the injury history. The way I look at it is, you've got a back that, any way you slice it, when opposing defenses game plan for David Johnson, for an offense that has David Johnson as a starting running back, they first and foremost will have to know where David Johnson is on the field. I think in past years, one thing to kind of it was similar to is, in past, I've always talked about DeAndre Hopkins is a coverage dictator. In other words, a corner would roll up, a safety would be over the top, the linebacker would shift out slightly wherever in the direction of wherever DeAndre Hopkins was. He was a coverage dictator. He would dictate what coverages would do to you a lot of the times, right? When you look at David Johnson, he's not going to dictate the coverage because obviously you can't call your coverages based off of a running back. However, he is a player that, if he's used correctly, if he's used to the best of his ability with his skill set, if he's used correctly, defenses will adjust every time he moves, whether he starts out wide and he shifts to the backfield or he starts in the backfield and shifts out wide, the defense will have to have an answer for that. He's not a decoy the way Carlos Hyde was in the past. He is a guy that that Tim Kelly early in games, first drive of the game, one of the goals on the first drive of the game, obviously the first goal is to score a damn touchdown because it never happened last year in a game with Deshaun Watson as a starting quarterback on the first drive. AJ did it, but Deshaun did. But first and foremost, you got to score. Secondly is, if I'm the offensive coordinator, I'm calling plays to not only my film study and my week's preparation told me that this will work against this defensive look, but as I'm calling plays, either I'm going to do it or I'm going to have TJ Yates in the booth going, hey, coach, when you took David Johnson and you shifted him out wide as a receiver, the defense adjusted this way. And because they adjusted that way, we can attack them somewhere else. So when we come back later in that drive or in the second series, offensive series, boom, you throw David Johnson out there, they adjust, you strike their ass. That's the kind of impact that David Johnson should have early on with this offense. And you as a fan should see it. You don't have to be a former player to see it. You should see early and often, you should see David Johnson shifting from the backfield to the receiver position before the ball snapped and vice versa. You should see him starting out wide and shifting into the backfield before the ball snapped. Those are things you should see on the very first Texans drive.
Let me get this from you real quick. Speaking of David Johnson being a bigger role, having a bigger role in this offense, well, how many touches you think a game? Because to me, prior to this, hearing them, because we've heard, we first had Quincy Avery, Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach, on this show speak about the running backs when he talked about new weapons. Deshaun on Saturday spoke about having Duke and David Johnson in the backfield, and now we got Tim Kelly going at it. I was thinking this is a guy that was going to get, you know, 13 to 15 touches, combining his rushing attempts and catches out of the backfield a game. Is 20 touches more accurate? Because that does seem like a lot more than I would have thought he was going to bring to this offense.
Did you say 20 or 15?
I thought maybe 13 to 15 combining rushing and, because you know Bill likes to run the ball, rushing and catching the ball in the backfield. Should it be more 15 to 20 the way they're talking?
Houston had about 65 snaps per game offensively last year in 2019. Do I think it's fair to say that rushing and receiving that David Johnson
15 carries, 5 catches a game?
I like it. I think it's a good number. I think it's a really good number because he's a three down back. Now, it just depends on what Tim Kelly wants to do with Duke Johnson. And because I think it's important here, guys, to talk in terms of, do you want to have Duke Johnson in the fourth quarter at the end of the game really fresh, or do you want to use him to spell David Johnson throughout the game and so he's got some gas in the tank late in the fourth quarter? He's the three down back, so to me, you might steal a couple of reps from him throughout the game to make sure that in the fourth quarter he does not come off of the field now, and that may impact his touches. But show, yeah, I think the 18 to 20 total touches, when you look play 16 games and look at it in the rearview mirror and go, if he had 18 to 20 touches a game, I think you did. I think it's a pretty good number.
More than I'd have thought this year.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, Clint. Defensive coordinator for the Texans, Anthony Weaver, also spoke. And I think one of the biggest things that we took away from this is he's going to be coaching, obviously, as the defensive coordinator, overall leader of the defense. And remember, Bill O'Brien's defensive coordinator, it's his defense.
Yep.
Right? This is his defense,
yes.
His baby. And he is going to be the defensive line coach as well. What's your level of concern with a first-year coordinator with pressure on him, a first-year coordinator holding two jobs?
If I didn't know anything about Anthony Weaver and I hadn't heard anything about Anthony Weaver and the Texans setup, then I think just on the surface it would obviously concern me. But I think there's some factors here. You mentioned one of them that I think are critical to the conversation. Right, the head coach is an offensive minded head coach. He doesn't have Anthony Weaver doesn't have somebody looking over his shoulder and as a safety net. He's a guy that he's got to be the decision maker across the board at this point in time as a defensive coordinator. And so I think making the decision of whether him coaching the D-line is detrimental to his ability to be the defensive coordinator, I think he will make that decision appropriately. Whether it is or it isn't, or we ever know about it, is irrelevant. I think he will know how to, I believe hearing him talk, the few times that we've heard him talk, talking to other individuals, Wade Smith and all these different guys, Cecil Shorts and all these different guys that are around the team and what they believe Anthony Weaver brings to the table, I think they understand that he would step away and allow a guy like Akeem Dent, who's a six-year NFL vet, played the game with Houston and Atlanta. He's entering his second year as a Texans on the Texans coaching staff, and he shadowed Anthony Weaver last year. He would step away and say, hey, man, boom, you got this D-line. Let's move forward. And I think the other part is that Romeo Crennel being there. I think Romeo Crennel being there will really allow him to go, hey, coach, man, you see anything where I'm missing? Like, evaluate from a distance. Am I spending too much time with the D-line? Are you sensing anything elsewhere that needs my attention as a defensive coordinator? I just think that those aspects of, one, Anthony Weaver being a genuine, sincere, confident guy to do those kind of things, and then having Akeem Dent, Romeo Crennel and those types of guys in his circle, I'm not as concerned as I would be if I were just from the outside looking in going, man, what's Anthony Weaver going to do?
I am concerned because he's a first-year guy, and I never want him to be in a place where he's overwhelmed, because the number one thing he needs to be doing is getting this defense from not being 28th like it was last year. But the Romeo Crennel point is really, really good because, as I said, this is his defense, right?
Yep.
There's not like – this isn't where Belichick is over his shoulder. Like, this is his defense. But Romeo Crennel being a guy that was a coordinator and overseer, that's almost like having another head coach right there. So that is a really, really good point.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, Clint, Dusty Baker, before the win yesterday, he spoke about two guys that the Astros need in a hurry, Jose Urquidy and Yordan Alvarez. He gave an update on those guys. This is Dusty from before the game yesterday.
We know Urquidy is scheduled to throw bullpen in a couple of days. He's feeling better, but he's not anywhere close. He's still a couple of weeks off. Alvarez is starting to hit, and he'll probably say he's ready in a few days, but he needs some reps. You know what I mean? And he needs to see live pitching down there in Corpus Christi.
Whoa.
You didn't like that one, huh?
No, God! Jose Urquidy is weeks away. Alvarez needs to see live pitching. Yeah. Jose Urquidy is throwing a bullpen. What has been going on?
Well, I wonder if they're handling Urquidy with kid gloves. I wonder if this is one of those deals where it's like, don't bring him back too soon. Because remember, he wasn't in Corpus Christi, so wherever he was, apparently neither one of these guys were in a position to do baseball things. I'm good with them taking with the pitching staff the shape it is right now. Hey, take you a month, Urquidy.
Really?
I don't give a damn. Yeah, take you another 60 month.
60-game season.
Take you another month. Astros going to be all right. Hell, half the damn league's going to make the playoffs. I mean, the Astros going to make the playoffs, Chief. I mean, that's a given, right? I mean,
as long as Josh James is not making any
bullpen,
more starts.
Bullpen, Josh James. Bullpen, no doubt about it. But here's the deal, man, is if this lineup can score 6 runs a game with Springer hitting 189, Altuve hitting sub 200, Bregman hitting 209, I mean, hell, get Yordan up here. If this lineup can score that many runs a game.
He's not hitting live pitching yet.
I don't give a damn. Get him down here sooner rather than later. Get him some live pitching. Clearly, your superstars don't have to hit above 200 for you to score 6 runs a game. And get speed that process up. That's Urquidy, you take whatever time you need. But Alvarez, Yordan Alvarez, if you can't get the live looks that you need in Corpus Christi because the caliber pitcher's not there, then bring him on and plug him in here, baby.
I guess I got to stop looking at Russell Westbrook and other sports of players, because we all assumed that these guys were dealing with COVID-19. Now, they never came out and said it, but the way that they were talking about, they have an issue that we can't report. It felt like COVID. Well, Russell Westbrook is out here playing games. Like, these guys, what have they been doing for long?
If COVID was the problem, it sounds like they were not asymptomatic. They lost some weight.
Maybe
and they
something,
sick.
Maybe whatever. But it seems like a week's away for Urquidy. That seems a bit much. All right, last night, Clint, I think was the best day of the season for the Astros, and it's not even close. We'll explain to you coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the show.
Ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen, this is a Jazzy Fizzle production. Missy, the princess is here. Sierra,
this beat is.
I just don't know how Russell Wilson pulled that off. I will never ever understand it. But that's
not a real tough one to figure out, Joe.
It is, man.
I mean, he's a quarterback.
Hold on.
He's a good looking dude.
Listen, she has the ability to get good-looking dudes that aren't lame.
She may not look at it as lame.
Unlimited.
How can she not?
I'm sure he's a good guy.
Do you think he'd be too much for her, personality wise?
No. I think a lot of women would overlook a lot of the coyness that you and I discuss about Russell Wilson.
Not if you're Sierra.
Unlimited.
Clearly, yeah, if you're Sierra.
Maybe she's a little lame. It has to be.
I don't know. I don't know her that well.
That's why it didn't work out with Future, I guess. I just can't. I can't deal with it. But that song.
She definitely doesn't have a very narrow focus in her taste, that's for sure.
No, she doesn't. She's all around the map, isn't she?
I mean, I would say it's pretty extreme from Future to Russ. I mean,
Cam Newton before that, Lil Bow Wow.
Cam would probably fit in the middle somewhere. Lil Bow Wow. Yeah, I
mean, A.K.A. Shad Moss.
Yeah, I mean, Shad Moss.
What a name, isn't it? But that song does make me happy. And Clint, the Astros and Dusty Baker, they desperately needed last night's game. Desperately needed last night's game. They won comfortably, and it was comfortably the whole way, 8-1. They were really never tested. They got Madison Bumgarner, their ace, the Diamondbacks' ace, out of there fast. And they needed it. They've had three extra inning games. It seems like the last week, every game is a nail-biter coming down to it, one-run games, having to use guys that Dusty doesn't know, and people are getting hurt and all this and that. And they finally got a game where they got to breathe, and there wasn't pressure, and there wasn't stress, and Dusty didn't have to smoke three darts. Like, it was something they needed desperately, Clint.
Yeah, this was one for Dusty that after an off day and with a little bit of rest, the way the game unfolded, it was low stress. It wasn't as long as some of the games have been in the past. And the way the game unfolded allowed him to rest some guys in the bullpen that he probably would not have been able to rest had it been a closer game. And the fact that it was a game that as you mentioned, was for the entire game, the Astros had complete control of it. It was 3-1 at one point in the fourth. The Astros come back and put up 5 runs in the fifth. So they went up 8-1 at that point. They gave up another run in the seventh inning to the Diamondbacks, but ended up 8-2. The Astros had this game in hand for the better part of the entire game. I mean, it was something that Dusty needed, no doubt about it. I mean, you take it a step further and you talk about the performance from Christian Javier.
Well, that's his beat, right?
To me, that's what Dusty needed more than anything. Sure, a low-stress evening on the diamond was good for him. But the Christian Javier aspect of this thing was beautiful. I told you when I saw the three starters for the Diamondbacks that I looked at it in a squad that's having all kinds of problems with the pitching staff, top to bottom, to look at a run of three starters in a three-game series versus the Arizona Diamondbacks. You look at that list and you feel pretty damn good about it. I think the only one you had questions about was Christian Javier because of his youth. And the lack of sample size that he's had to this point, he goes out and throws an absolute gem last night. All around great night for Houston, and there ain't no doubt about it. Dusty needed this night.
No, and when you speak of Christian Javier getting
– Got Christy on your mind, huh?
I do, man. I don't even know who she is.
Hope that ain't the ex's name. Hope Courtney ain't listening. Hope that ain't the ex's name or something. That'd be a bad deal.
No.
You got to think that hard about it.
I don't think so. Hey man, I've had some fun now, the Javier thing, man. Him to back up that start from the Dodgers with this one, and I don't know when you watch him. This is two starts now, and it looks like this is real, right? You know what you mean? Sometimes you watch and you see guys, you're like, man, it's smoke and mirrors, man. Like. The Valdez, Framber, the first game against the Dodgers, you're like, they're getting fly balls. They're hitting them to people.
Yeah.
But this is two starts with Javier where you're like, you know what? He's like getting guys out. His approach, he's attacking guys. He's staying in the zone. He's not afraid to throw his stuff. Like, it feels real. and he's flat out been this team's best starter. And it and like and we'll see what Lance does tonight, but it's he's flat out been the team's best starter and done what aces do, and that's give you a night like this.
There you go. And look, I don't know if he's done enough to convince you and me about his future in Major League Baseball and his future with the Astros, but he's done enough to impress our guy, Mr. She Knows, Los Correa. This is Los Correa talking about Christian Javier.
I think Javier is going to be in a rotation for a long time. He's nasty. He's got great stuff. I like his composure on the mound. The kid's got it all. So I like the way he attacks hitters. I like the way he handles everything in such a big shoes that he has to fill. You know, he's great. I think he's going to be here for a long time.
That's pretty strong words from Correa, man.
No, yeah. It does not look like when he's facing batters that, oh, man, they're struggling because they've just never seen him before. Now, it looks like the next time they come up, I'm not saying he's going six shutout innings or six one-run baseball, but you feel like the next time he starts next week, Clint, he's not going to fall apart. Like we're about to just see somebody just Josh James it out here, right? I'm sorry, Josh. But
yeah, you just drove by on Josh. He's earned it.
You're doing these Josh James things. All right, Clint Sterner and the show here with you. On Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. TJ Yates, this was a day all the assistants spoke. And TJ Yates, former Texan quarterback, started a playoff game for this team as well. And he's the new quarterback coach. And Clint, he said something about Deshaun Watson that really puts things in perspective to how impressive Deshaun has been thus far. This is TJ Yates.
You know, obviously, you know, one thing that I didn't really realize until I saw it the other day, he's for how young he is. I think he's 24 years old going into his fourth year. And comparative to me, like I was 24 my rookie year. So he's still a very young quarterback, learning lots of different nuances of defenses and just really his next step in the maturation process as a quarterback, learning defenses, quarterbacking stuff, mechanics wise, really getting the most out of his body and his mechanics. I think are really going to take him over the top and kind of take that next step.
Did you hear that? He was a rookie at 24. Deshaun is 24, entering his fourth season and been voted by 50 people in the NFL that are GMs and players and coaches and scouts as being a top five quarterback in the game right now. How old were you when you were a rookie?
22. 22. Yeah, I want to know what the hell TJ Yates was doing. The hell was he doing in college at 23?
Maybe he went on a mission. Could you check? See if TJ Yates is a Mormon.
He had to be a baseball guy or something. Or I guess you could. Where did he play? North Carolina? He was a North Carolina guy.
Well, that feels right.
I mean, what the hell was TJ Yates doing at 24 as a rookie? 22, think about it. He had 3 years of college where it was legal. I mean, 3 years of college, my man was running through the bars. Man, that would be awesome, man.
Would it be 24?
Yes. But, yeah, I mean, to think that Deshaun Watson has got 3 years of experience, he's been to the playoffs twice, he's experienced three playoff games, one of them was a win. He's put up highlight reel after highlight reel, which I don't think is what you want your quarterback to that's capable of doing things that Deshaun Watson's capable of doing. You don't want him to pride himself on highlight reels that he had to put up early in his career. You want him to take the next step and really control the game at a different level. But to think what Deshaun Watson's already done, as you mentioned, being voted in lists of top five active quarterbacks, clearly in the top three young quarterbacks in a sense of what their brightest futures in the game. I mean, this guy's super young. What we've seen at this point is the tip of the iceberg. I just think there's a ton of room for development with Deshaun Watson moving forward.
No, yeah, it's at 24. It's crazy that his quarterback coach played in the league as a rookie 24. Yeah. What the hell was TJ doing? That's a hell of a question. That's a hell of a question.
What did he do in high school? Get held back a few times? You go.
I don't know. Maybe TJ did get held back. Who knows? All right. There's a narrative about the Texans that people are just convinced of. And I'll be honest with you, when I lay this out to you, you'll see it's just not true. We'll prove that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
All right, breaking news. This according to the Houston Chronicle and Chandler Rome, that the Astros' probable starters for the rest of the road trip, Brandon Belak is going to go. Brandon Belak, the rookie, is in the rotation, and he will go tomorrow night. He will pitch Thursday. Zach Greinke will then pitch Friday. Framber Valdez Saturday, and then Christian Javier on Sunday. And Josh James has been moved to the bullpen. This according to Chandler Rome. Brandon Belak, who has been a real surprise as well, is now in the rotation. Josh James has been moved to the bullpen.
The last we heard from Belak, he was waking up in I believe, Corpus Christi. Got a text about helping with breakfast that morning, and as a prank, obviously, he then gets word that he's been bumped up to the big leagues, added to the Astros roster, and he drives north from Corpus Christi to Houston, Texas, and gets in the game with the Astros, four inning outing,
then recently, as Friday, when Lance McCullers struggled, he came in and calmed it all down. Two innings, he had two strikeouts and no run baseball, and no hits as well in his time in. So he's been really, really good his two outings.
One earned run in five innings, five and a third, four hits in five and a third.
You had to make a move, right, with Josh James. You could not go through those outings anymore. It's three, like he's going three innings, 75 pitches, a lot of standing around in the outfield because he's walking guys. And they just, and I just, as I said before, you know, I was first at this, as I said before, that Josh James will just be better suited, in my opinion, and his stuff will play. Now, I am really excited about this move. I am excited about this movie.
You're excited that you were right. Let's be honest.
No, a little bit. I'm excited.
I mean, how can you be excited about a guy that you've seen twice? He's walked the bases loaded both times, and one time the fourth guy hit a grand slam.
Because I believe his stuff could play really, really well and see him dominant in a position of a super reliever, a guy that can go and get, you know, three to six outs. I think if he concentrates, as I've said, throwing a fastball and a changeup, two pitches. Don't worry about the slider. Don't worry about the curveball. Just go in and unload the tank, throw 98, 99, go get 100, and come back with the changeup. I think he's got a chance to be a weapon for them. What he was doing was killing them. I think now he could be a weapon for them.
No, I like where your head's at. I mean, he's clearly a guy that has been impressive in a two inning frame. You know, I mean, you get beyond that, and he's obviously struggled. I think the command issues are still a major concern with him. And ultimately, if you're not right at this point in time, then I guess he can just take a Belak's rental car. He can just drive that thing back to Corpus Christi because that's where he's going to end up if he don't tighten his game up. So. I hope you're right. I hope he fares well out of the pen. I do think it minimizes his impact in terms of if he gets in there and you see pretty quickly that he's having some command issues, then you can jerk him out. Obviously, he's got to face three batters at least. But you can minimize the impact of him not being a starter or being a starter and as you said, throwing 80 pitches in three innings. And so I like the move as well. I hope you're right.
No, if you're just joining us, Brandon Belak is now in the rotation and will start tomorrow in the series finale against the Diamondbacks. Zach Greinke then moves to start game one against the A's, and that means Josh James has moved to the bullpen, and we'll see if he is improved at that position. I guess, man, you watch Christian Javier, you say, man, there's a rookie who stepped it up. Hell, why not Brandon Bielak? Why not him? And it's not a ton, man. Can you go four right now? Can you go 4 or 5 and keep this offense in the game? That's all they need from you right now. That's it. Can you pull that off and make that happen?
Well, I think big picture too, show that this is a situation moving forward where Dusty Baker sooner rather than later is going to have to figure out which guys he's going to run with. Right? I mean, you've got Jose Urquidy coming back at some point. Peacock comes back at some point. Presley will come back at some point. Davinsky's going to come back at some point. As you said, Rob Manfred, I believe by Thursday, Major League Baseball has a trim from 30 to 28 players.
Makes a whole lot of sense.
Active roster, right? Makes a ton of sense with all these arm problems around the league. But with all those things considered, whether it's the rosters having to be cut or it's proven guys that are definitely part of this staff, whether it's out of the pen or their starters, when those guys come back, they're going to fill slots. Dusty Baker's going to be standing there going, hey, man, I've got to make a decision between Josh James and another young player that's in the pen, or Brandon Bielak and another potential starter, Framber Valdez and another potential starter. I mean, what those kinds of decisions are going to be made sooner rather than later, and I think Dusty Baker's got to start figuring out who he needs to see more of as well.
Just breaking through, Brandon Bielak is in the rotation now. Josh James is out. Can we just speak about the elephant in the room? How disappointed are Astros fans that this is not Forrest Whitley? This has to be, and I'm not trying to crush the kid. I'm really rooting for you, Forrest.
Hello, my name's Forrest.
This has to be Forrest Whitley.
How's it not is the question, right?
Good hell, man. Really, like what is going on down there? Like what is going on down there? It feels like this has to be him in there starting. And as you said, you went off about it the other day. Hey, with everything that is happening with this pitching staff, 10 rookies on the staff in the bullpen, and Forrest Whitley's not up here? Yeah. What the hell is that?
Well, word on the street, there's some arm soreness out there. I don't know if that's impacting the decision to have him up or down or what in the hell's going on with him. But, I think it's a big-time concern. Is before, when we talked about Forrest Whitley and the whole, you know, I thought he would be a contributor at some point in time. That was a fun little bit we had going on there with Verlander at the top and Greinke and McCullers and ha-ha-ha, this young fella's going to get in here for – you know, but now you look at it and you go, hey, man, I mean, this has got to just take all of the air out of his sails. To be in the Astros organization and the Astros having all the problems that they're having in the pitching staff, and he's not even mentioned. So it's got to be deflating if you're forced, there's no doubt.
Yeah, it has to be. Just rough. And I mean, but good for Brandon Bielak. I was listening to Landry, who does a great job with the post-game show each and every night. I was listening to him last Friday when he came in, and he talked a lot about his performance coming in. I was listening to it on the radio.com app, which you can listen to. You can catch our show, Payne and Pendergast, in the loop all day long and listen to the post-game show like I did and listen to Landry. He does a great job.
I listen to Sean and him every morning when I work out on the radio.com app.
I bet you
every morning. Not every morning, because I don't want to sit here. Landry done called me out about my workout habits. I don't want to sit here and act like I work out 24/7. But when I work out, when the garage gang gets together, it's no longer music, man. It's most time it's Payne and Pendergast in the morning.
Yeah, I caught it, and he talked about Brandon Bielak and his performance, and we knew a move had to be made. They just couldn't. You said it, man. They couldn't go another start around the rotation with Josh James crushing the ball. I mean, Valdez was supposed to start yesterday and just took that away from him because he couldn't go.
You know, it was a double-edged sword, too, Show, is that you keep trying to force the issue with him as a starter and you don't have him in the pen in that middle relief. And so you've got problems both places. He's clearly shown you that he's not ready to be a starter in this league. And And not at this point in time. I know he's young, but he's not ready for that yet. He doesn't have the command for to be out there more than a couple of innings, and he's clearly better suited to come out of the pen at this point in time. And so you really, as we mentioned before the season started, you really have a piece there with Josh James that the potential's through the roof. You know he can help you in one place or the other. Well, he's pretty much eliminated helping this organization as a starter. He's got to go back to the pen. So it's not all bad.
No, he can be a weapon.
Josh James bouncing back.
He can be a weapon. He can be a weapon. Brandon Belak into the rotation now. He'll get the start Thursday against the Diamondbacks. Josh James back to the bullpen. This is Clint Sterner and the show right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And Clint, there is a narrative about the Houston Texans defense that I just don't agree with at all. And the narrative is that Anthony Weaver, as he is the new defensive coordinator and he takes over this group, that the cupboard is bare and that he's working with lawn chairs and computer desk and that he doesn't have any players. And man, you know, God, how come they didn't go give help to the defense that was so bad? And it was bad last year in the late 20s, 28th ranked total defense last year. Let's look at it, though. Let's say some of the players they have on that side of the ball out loud, and I think that narrative is wrong. J.J., let me tell you, defensive coordinators around the league would start with J.J. Watt, a still dominant, disruptive player in this league who Sam Munson said is only second to Aaron Donald in terms of an interior defensive lineman. Still, Zach Cunningham, who only led the AFC in tackles, and it is exactly what you want out of a middle linebacker in today's game. He can cover and run, and he can play all three downs. Bradley Roby, I have to admit, I undervalued him. And I think Bradley Roby is a solid corner in this league. Justin Reed, an up-and-coming safety who now will be healthy this year, who is a good player, and Whitney Mercilus, especially when he has J.J. Watt there. I'm not saying these guys are great. Man, this ain't Texas Tech football defense. This ain't the Chiefs from a few years ago. Like, they don't just stink. They got football players over there. So to say that they don't got players, I think is a false narrative.
Yeah, I agree with when they're healthy, they've got the pieces. Now, could they use some additions to take it to the next level? Sure. Could they use some additions to really strike fear into opposing quarterbacks and offensive coordinators? Yeah, but they've definitely got a squad on the defensive side of the football that when they stay healthy, they got a chance to win a lot of football games, and they got a chance to play good enough defense to give this team a chance to make the run to the AFC Championship. And once you get to that point in time, you're in the best four teams in the league, and anything can happen. It's a roll of the dice, but anything can happen. Everybody's really, really good once you get to that level, obviously. And so this defense, assuming they can stay healthy and stay in shape, is good enough. I think they still need to add some guys, either add some veterans that are proven, or you've got to have some of these cats that are unproven step up big time, whether it's Ejiofor coming off injury or it's Jacob Martin, Charles Omenihu, you know, one of those guys, Blacklock, a young rookie.
Yes, him too.
You got to have those guys step up for this defense to really be the foundation of the organization and really, you know, be a top 10 defense in this league. You need a lot of good things to happen, but there's no doubt they've got a good foundation on defense of players that give you a chance to win.
713-572-4610. Do you think it's a false narrative that Anthony Weaver, the defensive coordinator for the Texans, is just working without players? That they have just done a disservice to him because he doesn't have any players at all, and this is why he's under so much pressure. Like, I would pose this to you, Clint. I think a lot of people look at this defense and remember they were ranked 28th last year and they could not rush the passer to save their lives, especially when J.J. Watt was out. And then we remember what happened in the Kansas City game and how quickly they ran 51 points up on you after you took a 24-0 lead. But how much of their play last year, including those playoff games, had to do with, even for the NFL, Clint, an unusual amount of injuries to your top players?
Oh, a ton. I mean, I give Romeo Crennel as much credit as I give anybody associated with the Texans with the fact that team was able to go to the second round of the playoffs and have that 24-0 lead on the Kansas City Chiefs, given the fact that, hell, in that game alone, they were two of their top three safeties were hurt. Like, not – out there play hurt, and then come to find out Justin Reed had a broken
torn labrum.
I mean, so those three guys are out. I mean, it's one of those things where you just look at what Romeo Crennel was able to piece together and what this team was able to do with the defense that had to be pieced together for the majority of the year. It's hard to believe that they were able to stop teams the way that they did well enough so that Deshaun Watson and the offense could win games. I mean, it's awfully impressive what he was able to do. When I look at the group that Anthony Weaver has,
he can work with this.
Oh,
he can do something with this.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think there's some too. I mentioned some guys in the front that have to step up, but when you look at Gerrion Conley, if Gerrion Conley was only here half the season, pretty promising prospect, so to speak, with the defense. But if he comes through, you've got a really good shell of the defense. I don't know what the hell Eric Murray's going to do. I'm confident that he's a good safety. I don't know that I'm confident that he's going to be versatile to do some different things versus the run. I don't know anything about the guy, so I'm going to stop just at being. I know he's. I'm going to trust he's a solid safety, NFL safety in this league at this point in time. And you've got really good players. You got difference makers at each level of the defense. When you got Bradley Roby in the secondary, Cunningham at the linebacker position, and J.J. Watt up front. I mean, you've got difference makers at each level. So, yeah, Anthony Weaver's got something to play with, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it even for the NFL, it was unusual the amount of injuries they went through. Your absolute best player missed half the season in J.J. Watt. Your best corner missed five games. Your safeties were a revolving door, and they even tried to play, and they were injured. I mean, you just ran through a ton of injuries to important players. It is hard to even see that happening again. So I just think the narrative, this being a defense that just, they are void of players. No, you give a lot of coordinators in this league the start of players like that, and young guys like Lonnie Johnson and Ross Blacklock that have some, and Grenard who have some promise.
Yeah.
Like guys who played in high level SEC football games in the Big 12 from Ross Blacklock. Maybe the Big 12. They don't really play a lot of defense. But
Gary Patterson plays defense.
You're right. Gary Patterson plays defense. He has a start. All right. Coming up, it's time to get your football fix. Clint Sterner's Football at 4, coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.